Hey, what's going on? Welcome to True North Church and welcome back to week four of a series that we're in where we're talking about hope, keeping hope alive. You know, the reality is that life hits hard sometimes, and there are situations and circumstances, there are moments where it can be so difficult to keep hope alive. And so over the last several weeks, this is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about how to find hope, and we've been talking about how to keep hope. And the bottom line is this: the answer to hope in this life is not going to be found in anything in this life. It's going to be found in our Heavenly Father and the promises that He has made to us. And so we've been talking about that now. This will be week four. I encourage you, if you missed any one of the first 3 weeks, go to our YouTube channel, grab our podcast, make sure you listen to those. I believe there's powerful, impactful truth in there for your life that will encourage you. And honestly, we believe this, maybe change your life for the better. That's what God's word does. It changes us. It impacts us if we will read it, if we will apply it. And that's our prayer for you every single week, that God's truth would be impacting and changing your life, and that you would then be impacting and changing your world. But before we dive in here to this week's message, let me go ahead and pray for us and just ask God to be here and be our teacher. Without Him, nothing good or of value is going to happen today. God, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for Your goodness and faithfulness to us. Most of all, we thank You for Jesus, for sending Him into this world for us, to die for us. You are our hope. You are our future, God, and we cannot thank You enough. Pray that this morning, as we open Your word, that You would teach us, that You would reveal to us the things that You want us to hear. Meet us each individually, right where we are, God, and we'll be very careful to give You the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I'll never forget the very first time I rode on one of those classic wooden roller coasters. You know, not the big steel coasters that go like 90 miles an hour and are so kind of smooth, right? I'm talking about those rickety old coasters that leave you feeling like almost bruised and battered by the time you get off of it. It shakes so much, right? And the coaster that I happened to ride, the very first one that I happened to ride, was called the Phoenix. And it's located at this park in the middle of central Pennsylvania, kind of in the middle of nowhere, called Knoebels. It's one of the best wooden roller coasters in the world. And I'll never forget standing kind of at the base where the entrance was and looking up at this huge, or what seemed to me like this huge hill, and the first big drop, and listening to the people kind of scream and yell as they went down the hill. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm not ready for this, right? I'm probably 6 or 7 years old. It looks terrifying to me. But after a while, my dad was able to kind of coerce me into getting on this coaster. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome, right? And so we get in line. And the further we went in this line, the more the anxiety and kind of stress began to well up inside of me. Like, I could feel the tension, right? And by the time we got on the coaster and began to make our way up that very first steep hill for that big first drop, panic. I mean, complete panic was setting in. I began to sob. I was screaming, get me off of this thing. I don't want to be here anymore, right? Unfortunately, at that point in the game, you are stuck on that coaster. You are going for the ride, whether you like it or not. And so we got to the top of that first hill. We began to crest over, and I looked down and just complete terror set in as we made that first drop, and I began to just scream and cry. And we rounded the first turn. It kind of threw me into the side of the roller coaster. It was banging me around. It was bumpy. It was rattling my brain, right? We went over these little bunny hops, right? And it was literally throwing me out of my seat. And for the first, what felt like probably 10 minutes, but it was probably 45 seconds, I just sobbed, cried, screamed. It was the most awful experience in the world. But something happened about halfway through the ride that changed everything. I looked over at my dad, and my dad has this giant smile on his face. His hands are up in the air. He's flying out of his seat, right? Hitting his legs up against the bar, the lap bar, and he is just having the time of his life. And he looks over at me and says, Justin, nothing is going to happen to you. Just relax and enjoy the ride. And from that point forward, I realized okay, here's my dad who I trust. He's not gonna tell me or steer me wrong, right? He's having the time of his life. He's not worried at all about this train going off the racks or going off the tracks or him flying out of his seat, and neither should I. And from that point forward, I had the time of my life. And by the time I got off of the train of the roller coaster and the train, I had the biggest smile on my face. I went from crying in panic to the biggest smile and an incredible amount of joy when I got off of that roller coaster. And what changed was trust. What changed was trust. From the time I got on the train, there was no trust, there was no hope. I didn't believe that anything good was gonna come from this ride. I wasn't gonna have fun, I was gonna get hurt, right? And the second half of the ride, I had complete trust. I'm gonna be okay, everything is gonna be fine. Just stop worrying, stop panicking, and enjoy the ride. You see, I think in a lot of ways, life in general is like an old wooden roller coaster. It is bumpy at times. There are some giant steep hills that we gotta go down and up. There are moments where it rattles you around. It rattles your brain, tosses you around like a rag doll, right? And oftentimes, here's my problem in life. When those things are happening, when I'm going through the storms of life, I don't always trust that everything is gonna be okay. I don't. I have trust issues in my life. And my lack of trust leads me to panic and fear and anxiety. And I don't think I'm the only one. I believe that all of us have moments, have times or seasons in our life where we don't trust what's going to happen. We are looking to the future and it is unknown. And when there are unknowns in our future, oftentimes what it does is it leads us to anxiety and worry and fear and hopelessness. Hopelessness. And that's what we're talking about in this series. You see, I believe God has been teaching me something about this whole idea of trust in my life. And I believe he wants to teach you something today through his word and through what we're going to look at. You see, the bottom line is this, is that your heavenly Father, he wants you to have trust. He wants you to have trust, not in the things of this world, but he wants you to have trust in him. And here's why. Because the more trust we put in him, the more faith we have in him, in his promises, in his goodness, in his faithfulness, the more hope, the more joy, the more peace we will have. And so I want you to mark this down today. This is the message today. Your level of trust determines your level of hope. Let me say that again. Your level of trust is what is going to determine your level of hope. Today we're going to look at a passage of scripture found in Romans chapter 15. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. He writes this letter to the church at Rome who's being persecuted beyond belief. I can't even imagine being a Christian, a Jesus follower in Roman culture. They were not down with people who followed Jesus, and they did everything they could to try and stop this movement. And so Paul, he actually pens this letter, and the passage of scripture that we're going to write is a prayer of encouragement to trust in their heavenly Father. And as they trust in him, watch what happens. Watch as their hope and their peace and their joy increases. It's a message that I believe must have been so powerful and encouraging to them. And I believe it's a message that could be incredibly powerful and encouraging for us today. So let's read this together. This is the prayer that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." May the God of hope. So first he says, he is the God of hope. And we need to understand this. We need to recognize this. Hope comes from God. He is the source of hope. If you want real hope, you're not going to find it in anything else or in anyone else. It is only going to be found at the source. He is the God of hope, and he wants to give it to us abundantly. He wants to fill us with it. He is in the business of hope. That's our God. That's who he is. It's what he does best. And over and over and over again in Scripture, in God's Word, there are examples of his faithfulness and how he provided hope to people who were in hopeless situations. Abraham, who could not have children with his wife Sarah, was 90 years old. She was 90 years old, but God came through and provided for them. He gave them hope when they had no hope. Moses, as he stood before the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was closing in on him, he made a way. He opened the waters of the Red Sea and gave them hope when there did not seem to be any hope. David, as he stood before Goliath, the behemoth of a man, the giant of a man that he was, and provided David with 5 smooth stones and a slingshot and the courage to stand before him and slay the giant, gave him hope when it did not seem like there was any hope. Daniel, being tossed into a den of lions to be eaten by those lions, provided a way for Daniel to make it through an entire night in a den of lions without being eaten. He provided hope when there did not seem to be any hope. That is our God. He is faithful, and we need only to seek him, to seek hope from him, to find it. You see, if we're lacking in hope, God is where we need to go to seek it. Unfortunately, most of the time, we seek it in every other direction. We seek it in other things. We seek it in other people. We don't go to him first. And even when we do, and I know I am so guilty of this, we seek it for a short time, but when God doesn't come through right away, when it doesn't feel like he's answering, when it doesn't feel like he's listening, we give up. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 11 and verse 9 and 10. He tells the story of a man and his family who are sleeping. It's late at night. Everybody's tucked in for the night. And his friend comes knocking at the door, pounding on the door, looking for food. He's hungry. And at first the guy's like, my family's asleep. I'm asleep. Go away. I'm not dealing with this right now. Go find food somewhere else or wait until the morning, right? But what Jesus says is that the man keeps knocking. He just keeps on pounding on the door. And finally, this man, he gets up, puts on his robe, he goes downstairs, he opens the door, and he says, what? What do you want? Like, I told you to go away. But the man persists. He just keeps asking and asking and asking. I need food. I need food. Please give it to me. And finally, what Jesus says is this. Not because this man was his friend does he finally give in and relent, but because of the persistence, because this man kept on knocking, the man finally gives in and gives him the food that he is desiring. And then Jesus makes this statement, and this is such a powerful statement for us today. He says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. He will give you hope. You need to hear that today. He will give you the hope that you are looking for, but you have to know where to go, and you have to keep knocking. You have to keep asking. You have to keep seeking until he gives it to you. Ask, seek, knock, and don't stop. See, the question that I think we have to answer today is this. Before we get into any of the rest of this, is this. Do we trust that he is the God of hope? Do we trust that? Just like when I was on that roller coaster and I trusted that the man, my father, sitting next to me, knew what he was talking about, was trustworthy, and I knew that if I was sitting next to him, everything was going to be okay. Do we believe that he is the God of hope? Because until we believe that, until we know that, we've internalized that, we'll never trust him. So Paul begins with this statement, and it's not a coincidence that he says this. May the God of hope, and then he says this, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope. See, your heavenly Father, He wants to not only fill you with hope right up to the brim, he wants your hope to overflow, to be spilling out so that it's not only filling you up, but it's actually begins to impact other people around you. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? As you trust in him. See, this is the thing about trust and hope. The more you trust, the more hope he will give you. As your trust level increases, your hope level will increase. It is proportional. The more you trust, the more hope, the more peace, the more joy he will give you, to a point where it is overflowing in your life. If you will allow him to do that, if you will trust in him in that way. There was this mountain spring when I was a kid. And I remember my family used to go there, and we would take old water jugs and milk jugs, and we would go to this spring on a hot summer day and just fill up on this fresh, amazing mountain spring water that was coming out of the mountain. And it was the best tasting, freshest, cleanest water like that I have ever tasted. And the thing that always amazed me about this spring is that it didn't matter. It could be the driest, hottest summer, that spring was always flowing. No matter what, there was a flow of fresh, clean, life-giving water coming out of that spring no matter what. That's your Heavenly Father. He is a spring that wells up, that never runs dry. And if we will put ourselves in the flow of that spring, if we will trust him all the time in everything that we have, keep ourselves in that flow at all times, he will give us an overflowing hope. And I don't know about you, but I want that kind of hope. I want an overflowing hope that never runs dry. And I want that for you. And I believe your Heavenly Father wants that for you. He says, he will fill you with all joy and peace. He will fill you as you trust in him. The more you trust in him, the more hope and peace and joy he will give you. And it will eventually overflow. You will overflow with hope as you trust more and more and more. But then finally, and this is so important, don't miss this part of the prayer. He says you will overflow with hope by what? By the power of your own strength? By the power of your own will? No, he says by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus Christ, when he left this earth to go back up to heaven to be with his Father, left us this incredible gift called the Holy Spirit. It is part of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God living inside of us. Jesus actually says that I'm going to leave you something better than when I was here. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. He is with us 24/7. There is never a time when we don't have access to him. And this is the Holy Spirit's role. He is to be an advocate for us. The Holy Spirit is to go to work on our behalf. And he's doing two things in our lives if we will let him. He is there to comfort us and he is there to counsel us. Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 14, verse 26. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. It says that he will teach you all things. That is what the Spirit will do. That means that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us through every storm, every trial, every circumstance that we face in this life. If we will just simply ask him, if we will go to him, And seek his wisdom and guidance, it says he will pour it out on us. He will give it to us. And as he gives us that guidance, I think part of the reason that I don't have hope sometimes is I just don't know what to do. Like I'm stuck and I'm scared and I'm paralyzed by this situation. The Spirit of God promises to give us the guidance that we need to navigate through every situation, give us the words to say, give us the heart posture, how to respond. He will give it all to us if we simply seek him and ask him, if we will trust in his guidance. But then he also says this, not only will he teach us all things, it says he will remind you of everything that I have said to you. The Spirit reminds us of God's love for us, The Spirit reminds us that even though this life might be difficult and challenging, that one day through Christ on the cross, through his blood shed for us, we are gonna, this life and the craziness that we live in, it's gonna go bye-bye. And God is gonna make a way for us to live in heaven forever with him. He's gonna do good things. He has a good plan, a good purpose. As we talked about Abraham and Moses and Daniel and David, there is evidence that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy, and that he wants to and will do good things in your life. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to be guiding us, to be our counselor, to be our comforter through every moment of every situation of every day. And so I cannot encourage you enough. Pay attention to the Spirit. If you are a Jesus follower, he lives inside of you. Don't miss out on the incredible power that he has for your life. And so here's the question. As we kind of get ready to wrap this up, what do we do with this? What do we do with this information? What do we do with this prayer that Paul has prayed for us? How do we lean into this? Bottom line, we must remember this. Your level of trust determines your level of hope. That's what Paul's saying here. Guys, your level of trust determines your level of hope. And so my question is, how do we get to a place where our trust level is so high that we always have hope? Because that's really what I want. And that's what I want for you. How do I get to a place where my trust level is so high in God, in my Heavenly Father, that I always have hope? Not just a hope that fills me, but a hope that overflows me. We have to begin with this question. When I feel anxious, when I feel worried, when I feel fearful, when I am hopeless, I need to ask this question. Where in my life am I trusting God the least? Where in my life am I trusting God the least? Because this is the answer to our lack of hope and peace and joy. Once you answer that question, you can begin to figure out how to put your trust in God in that situation. But until you do, because I think a lot of times we don't even know. We're hopeless, but we don't really know exactly why we're hopeless. We don't realize that it's because we aren't trusting in our Heavenly Father, in the one who provides hope to give us hope. We're trusting in everything else. Maybe for you, it's your finances, and you are not trusting that God is going to take care of you. Maybe it's something to do with your health, and you are not trusting that God is going to take care of your body. Maybe even if it's not in this life, one day you're going to get a new body. Check out week 2 of this message series for more on that. Maybe it's something to do with a relationship that you have in your life right now that isn't going well. Maybe you need to release that relationship to God. You need to trust that he is going to do something good out of that, even if it's not in that relationship that you're struggling with and worried about right now, that God can grow you and help you make progress and grow as a disciple of his and as a human being through that situation that you're going through. Wherever you are lacking trust the most, this is what is stealing your hope the most. And then once you answer that question, here's what we need to do. We need to pray and we need to read. We need to pray and ask the Spirit to give us guidance. We need to pray and ask the Spirit to give us comfort. And we need to keep asking until he gives it to us. Just like Jesus shared in that parable, we need to knock and knock and knock on the door, on God's door, until he answers and gives us hope. But then we need to read. We need to read his word. We need to open this and be reminded of the faithfulness of God throughout the history of the world over and over and over again, how he provided hope to people, how he came through, the fact that he is trustworthy and faithful. It is all found in his word. It's found in his word. Real talk? Come on. Can I be totally straight and honest with you today? How many of us, when we're struggling, I mean really struggling to find hope, just saturate ourselves in prayer and reading His Word. I know that's the Christian-y, churchy thing to say, but the truth of the matter is this, that prayer and God's Word are the two primary resources that He has given us to connect with Him and to find hope, to put our trust in Him. If we're not praying about our situation and our circumstance, if we're not reading God's Word to be encouraged with how to get through those circumstances, we are missing out. I cannot stress that enough. When you are feeling hopeless, we need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time reading His Word and being reminded of His faithfulness. And as we do that, I believe this, our trust will increase, and so will our hope. Now, I want to say this, because I know what some of you might be thinking. Just because you pray and you read and you put your trust in God doesn't always mean that your circumstance or your situation is going to change. At least not right away. And that can be so difficult, because at the end of the day, when we trust God, what we're really saying is, God, I trust You to change my circumstance. But what God is calling us to do is to put our trust and our faith in Him. You see, that's what hope is. Hope is believing that in the future, God is going to work for good what is happening in my life. It doesn't always mean that He's going to change our situation. He's going to change our circumstance right away. It's about faith and hope that it will get better, even though we might be going through the most incredible pain and struggle right now. When I was in third grade, we used to play tag at recess. I don't know if kids still do that or not, but that was like a big thing back in the day. And there was this huge oak tree that was base when we would play tag on this playground at my elementary school. And I'll never forget, I was running like a bullet, like a bullet train. And I looked behind me to see the person who was chasing me. And when I turned back around, this oak tree had some low-lying branches. And it literally, I caught my lip right here and it just tore off pretty much the entire one side of my lip. And I'll never forget, I looked down, there was blood all over my hands. And it was just, I mean, it was a mess. And as I stood there and looked at that, I began to panic. I began to cry. I went to the nurse's office. The look on her eyes was like, oh my gosh, this is an emergency situation, right? And so they called my mom. And by the time my mom got there, I was just in a panic. I was so freaked out. And I got in the car with her and I'm holding this, you know, ice pack thing on my lip. And we're driving to the hospital and I am just freaking out. And she finally just looked over at me and she said, Justin, stop. There is no reason to worry. Everything is going to be okay. Just trust me and believe that I know what I'm talking about. And in that moment, the pain of my lip did not go away. I promise you that. It was still very painful. I was still bleeding all over the place. But in that moment, there was a calm that came over me. Why? Because my mom, who I trusted, told me, and she was riding in the car with me, she was going to be with me all the way to the hospital, said everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. Trust in me. You see, that's the kind of trust that can occur when we are riding with God, when we are in the car with God, right, so to speak. He wants to provide for us a belief in Him that transcends all of our situations and circumstances. We trust and we have faith because of who He is, because of the promises that He has made to us and has revealed throughout the history of the world. You see, there's a common misconception, I believe, about trust. There's a lie, if you will, that the world will tell you about trust, and that is this, and you've heard this before, that trust has to be earned, right? Trust has to be earned. That is a lie. The only way that trust can actually be earned is for trust to be given, right? Trust is given and then it is proved. And that's totally different from you've got to earn my trust before I will give it to you. There's only one way to know that someone or something is trustworthy. You have to give them the opportunity to prove themselves to be trustworthy. And here's one of the biggest reasons I think that many people, they don't trust God. Because they've never given God an opportunity to prove himself to be trustworthy. Or they've put their trust in God for about a millisecond. And then when God didn't come through in the timing and the timing that they wanted him to, they gave up hope. They gave up their trust in him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ gave us the ultimate reason to trust in God. He gave us the ultimate reason to trust in God. He laid down his life for us. He literally gave up his life for us so that we could live, so that we could have a better life. And that is the reason that I trust him. That is the reason that I trust God. For no other reason, honestly, than what Jesus did for me on the cross. He predicted his own death and resurrection, and then he made it happen. And that is the kind of person that I will put my trust in. When you have the power to do that, to raise yourself from the dead, you have the power to do anything. And so because of that, I trust in him. And my challenge to you today is this. If you are not a Jesus follower, would you look to him? Would you put your trust and your faith in him? Give him a chance to prove himself trustworthy. Give him a chance to prove himself in the midst of your situation, your circumstance, whatever that might be, and find out what happens. Because here's what I know. I've seen it happen in my life over and over again. I've seen it happen in others' lives. As we put our trust in him, as we put our trust in our Heavenly Father, as we give that to him, he will prove himself trustworthy. And as he proves himself trustworthy over and over and over again, there is a hope that comes out of that. There is a peace and a joy that comes out of that. And that is the question I want to ask you today as we close. Do you want that kind of hope? Do you want that kind of peace and joy? Put your trust in Christ, in your Heavenly Father, in the promises that he makes to us and in what he did for us on the cross. What do you have to lose? I'll tell you what you have to lose. Hope. You have hope to lose, but you have so much hope to gain by putting your trust in him. Can you imagine a life where no matter what circumstance you are going through, you always have hope? Not just any kind of hope, but an overflowing hope. Can you imagine the impact that you might have on your family, on your kids, on your wife, on your husband, on the people that you work with, on your neighbors? Can you imagine the impact and influence you would have on them as that hope overflows in your life and it begins to move out and impact the people around you? Your hope, the level of hope that you have, might bring hope to somebody else. Can you imagine how the world would change, how you would change the world if you began to live with that perspective every single day? Every single day, your level of trust determines your level of hope. Your level of trust determines your level of hope. I'm gonna say it one more time so we don't forget it. Your level of trust determines your level of hope. That's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. More trust in him and more hope in your daily living. And that is my hope and my prayer for you every second of every day moving forward, that you would have an overflowing hope that comes from your trust and your faith in the God who sent his Son to die for us, who has proven himself over and over again to be faithful and will one day prove himself once and for all. Let's pray and we'll close out our time together. God, we love you. We thank you and praise you for the hope that you give us. God, I pray today that you would help us to trust in you, to trust in your faithfulness, to trust in your word. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us to be our guide, to be our comforter. God, I pray that we would lean into him, that we would trust him more and more with every situation and circumstance in our lives. God, I pray that if there's anybody out there today who's had trouble trusting you, God, that they wouldn't believe the lie that trust has to be earned, but they would begin to lean into this idea that trust is given and then it is proven. And if they will give you their trust, you will prove it. And you will prove it over and over again. God, we love you. We can't thank you enough for sending your son Jesus into this world for us. It's in his amazing and perfect name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and joining us this week for our worship celebration. Rooting and praying for you guys this week, praying that your hope level would increase as your trust level increases in your heavenly Father, and that you would see not only your life, but your community and the world around you, your family, see the world changed around you. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.